Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, welcome. Welcome back to Private Education. I am in my car. It's a hot day. It's a hot, hot day. So the air conditioning is on. I hope you can't hear it in the background. I'm sure you won't be able to, because the other day when my next door neighbour who never cuts his grass decided he wanted to be Dermot Gavin, no one could hear that except me. And it was off-putting only to me. So we're in the car because I'm over. I've come to meet the guest today, who is a returning guest, Kate De Mulder. Welcome back.
Hi, Aisling. Great to be here.
I should say Fáilte Rás Air on podcast, or Gudí on podcast. What's podcast, Oscailge?
Pod Crail is the okay, yeah.
All right, okay.
Gurmila Magath. Yeah, we're here in Portobello today. Yeah. It's roasting, but we've got the aircon on, so we're good.
I'm still a bit sweaty. What,
yeah,
what's
still
new?
sweaty paws.
What's new? The reason we gave a little small bit of Irish there for anyone, actually, what we should do at the top is explain two things. We're going to talk about Love Island and the Gaeltacht and their correlations, first of all, and that's going to lead us neatly into holiday romances. Mm-hmm. But I'm conscious that not everyone will know. Okay, most people we would hope would know about Love Island, at least mm-hmm. a little bit. If not fans of the show, then maybe people who
the
have
concept.
Heard of the concept. Yeah. It might not be the same for the Gaeltacht. So, do you want to take it? I presume you've been.
I've been a few times. So I was, geez, I don't know how parents paid for it though. Like, I wouldn't be able to afford it for my kid. It's expensive.
It's very
expensive.
It's
like a grand for about 3 weeks. So I went for the first time, I think I was 14, and I went with 3 or 4 of my school friends. And I think the plan was for us to go to get a good junior cert, to get a good Irish for a junior cert. So we went, and it is like your first taste of freedom. So I went to one in Galway, Colostocamas. And it is out like backers of nowhere. Like you drive to Galway and that's 2 hours, and then you drive another 2 hours and that's mm-hmm. where you are. And it is beautiful. And so we went in July, I think it was. And I think we might have gotten 2 sun split in the stones days. And that is heaven. But basically, so your daily schedule, you go over, you get assigned to a house. Different houses are literally just like Irish mammies or Irish families that have a few spare rooms where they've put in bunk beds and they've essentially gotten money from this place to take you in for the 3 weeks. Mm. So you go in, you're assigned a house. There could be between like 7 and 16. Mm-hmm. I say girls because they're split into different genders. And so you stay there. You have a shower rota, so maybe one person can have a shower that morning and someone the next day.
Oh my God, you had a shower rota?
We had a shower rota. So
we just had like a very sophisticated Bagsy process.
Oh, okay, no.
So basically on the way home from... So
I didn't know you went to one. Where'd you go to?
Yeah, I went to Colaisce Ciaran, which is in Carraro.
Yes.
So, and I went 4 times, which, because I loved it so much.
Yeah, it's so fun.
It's the best thing. But our shower system was on the way back to the house... You, as a group, were leaving the school and you'd say, and look, forgive me because this was Osberlow, it was in English. We would say, like, Bagsy the shower. And whoever the first 4 or 5 people were would be like, okay, they'll reasonably get a shower and have time to, you know.
It
was always funny. You could definitely always, like, pick out the people who were like, well, they're not obviously pushed on showering full stop because they haven't tried to Bagsy anything.
Yeah, fair. No, we had on our first day, every time I went, it was like, okay, do you prefer showering in the morning or the evening? And so then you would kind of base a rota on that.
That's very democratic.
Dinking. Like, we were teenagers literally running around all day because I don't know what your system was, but Monday to Friday we would have classes, maybe like 9 to 11, little break, then like 11:30 to maybe 1, lunchtime, and then until maybe 3. And then you go back to the college and you do generally an hour or two of sports.
Okay.
If it was lashing, you might do something inside.
Yeah.
But you would be stinking. It was like, I actually went back and, because I did Irish in college, I went back and worked at the Gaeltacht, which is great money, but you fucking work for it. And just the smell of teenagers.
Yeah.
Reminds me of
Gaeltacht. Teenage smell. It's intense.
Yeah, it's intense. Hits the back of your throat.
And it's...
the type of thing where, well, our little daily schedule was we would go in for 9 for class and we'd have class until 12 or so. Mm. Then we'd go back to the house for lunch. Then we'd come back in the afternoon for like 2 or 3 hours of sport. And then we'd go back to the house and then we'd come back again for a Kaylee or a disco.
Yeah.
And like the amount of walking that you did.
So
like,
much walking.
So I walked the legs off myself. And then you weren't fed generous portions. They were very much like...
So I was totally the opposite. I came back fat as a fool. Every time.
Oh my God, I came back like a rake.
No,
in fact,
I came back
a
Gales
Road holiday would suit me right now if I needed to, like, if I wanted to, like, drop a dress size.
No, see, I always fancied all the lads, so I didn't want to do too much running, which is, like, women in sport, bad buzz.
Okay.
I should have been better. but, like, because you would be smelly and you're like, I don't have a shower on the road for 2 days.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do that much running. And there was always, every time I went to it, they give you big generous portions every time I went, thankfully. Mm. It might be shite food, but you'd be hungry.
Yeah.
And then they'd go hand around, you know, those packets of like small bars you buy at Halloween for trick-or-treaters?
Yeah.
She'd have them at the end of every meal.
Oh my God, you went to like the luxury girl.
Yeah,
effect.
But yeah, my jeans didn't fit by the end of it. And it was like I had never, thankfully, because I was so young, never really worried about my weight, age 14, 15.
Okay, yeah.
And then like I came home and I was like, oh, that's so weird. My jeans don't fit. And my mum was like, yeah, you spend your 3 weeks eating.
I was the opposite. I was like, ran the legs off myself. Our banantee never... The banantee is like the lady of the house.
Yeah.
So she's like... Essentially
the mammy
your
looks
mammy.
After you.
Yeah, your mammy for
feeds
3 weeks.
Feeds you and provides towels and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And she... Our one, although a lovely, lovely woman, who's actually the parent of some of Ireland's most prominent broadcasters.
Stop! Yeah, that's so funny.
She never gave us treats. And actually... the orange was diluted and it was all very like it was all like there were, I don't want to say prison vibes, but
yeah,
like we're,
yeah.
You know,
some of them do
some kind of, and it was very much like, oh, you have 18 pieces of sweet corn and you cannot have 20.
Okay,
that sort of vibe.
Okay.
And there were 16 of us in that house.
Yeah,
so fair enough.
No, fair enough. To have 16
so
girls in your house for 3 weeks is a lot.
It's a lot. Like, yeah. And we used to save up money and go down to the shop before class and buy like wedges and sausage rolls from
nice.
From the deli counter, which
nice.
Felt like a Michelin star meal. So that's kind of the Gaeltacht experience. And the thing is, it's very much a hotbed for summer romances.
Yeah.
Because you are basically putting 200 girls and boys into a, you
between
know.
Between the ages of, say, 14 and
17. Yeah, 14 and 17. So, like, prime.
Yeah.
Prime. Like, you know, horny teenage years.
Yeah, you can smell it off them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, the want.
The want.
And you're putting them in a room together and
telling them to dance together,
to
sit
dance,
together,
hold hands,
hold
and
hands,
do a dance,
eat lunch together, so many different, like, it's the first time also you experience people out of your immediate social circle.
Exactly.
Like, I'm from Kildare. I don't think I had met anyone really my age outside of Kildare apart from like cousins or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's your first time to meet people from like Donegal
yes.
or like Galway or whatever. And they just, it seems so foreign, which is so funny to think now, but it does.
it
does. People who have different slang for different things, people who wear different things, who whatever, have different school bags. And
or,
like,
or I always found it
so
was fascinating.
Exotic.
So exotic. And I always thought the exotic older girls were like, I was like, I always found myself obsessed with like someone who was 17.
Yes.
And I remember distinctly being like, you know, thinking back on it and being like, that 17 year old in my head
is
was
a woman.
A 28 year old.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I remember her being, I remember this.
She needs to shave
girl.
Her underarms.
100%.
She has Benefit mascara.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, she is grown up. Like, and I remember being like taken by this girl and just been so fascinated by her. And I remember being so fascinated by her ability with
men.
The boys.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember because everyone was like captivated by her, and she had this real devil may care. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not pushed by any of this. You boys are just boys.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, wow. Because at that stage, obviously, I was absolutely the least cool person in the entire county. Never mind just that college. Like, you know, and I remember just thinking she was fab. And so
you get a lot of fab types.
You do, like.
Yeah.
And I think the thing, the kind of what it has in common with Love Island for me was, like, I've seen online loads, and this is kind of the crux of the thing. I've seen online people been like, you know, for whatever Love Island couple it may or may not have been, like, oh, how could they say I love you? They've only known each other for 2.5 weeks. How could they be best friends? They've only known each other for 3 days. Mm-hmm. That girl from Casa has only been here for 24 hours and yet they're like lobbing the gob and they're doing this and they're sharing the beds. Like, this is the key thing that I think Love Island has in common with the Girls Hooked is everything is very intense.
Yeah, it's a
relationships are very intense.
I was thinking about it when we decided to do this and like, it's so true. Everything is very intense. But also what I find really captivating is like, first of all, the mystery, right? So you go and meet all these new different people. And it's, as we say, it sounds so funny, but like, I remember meeting like Dublin girls with like highlights in their hair and like Juicy Couture bags. And I was like, oh my God, I'm hanging out with like literally Paris Hilton. or like, and it sounds so mental, but like you almost create a new version of yourself. And I think that's 100%. What's the most captivating thing, that you're like, they don't know me. They don't know of all the embarrassing things I've done. They don't know how I boringly spend my Tuesday nights. They just think I am just this girl who's arrived in the same place as them and I could be anything. And I think that's so captivating to a 14-year-old who is like being told that like for the first time, oh, your legs are too hairy or you're not cool or your body's not there yet or whatever. So I think it's so captivating.
And that's real, you know, when I felt that too when I arrived there. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't able to transform into some super cool person. That didn't happen for me. But I think the possibility of getting there and being whoever you wanted.
Yes.
Like, because for me anyway, when I was that age, boys weren't interested in me because I think I was like the friend. I was always in the friend zone, first of all. Yeah. And then I was also always among a group of girls that I was in, I was always the like, I don't want to be like patting myself on the back here, but I was the funny one rather than the good looking one.
Yeah,
or I was the funny one rather than the one the boys wanted to get with.
Gotcha.
So I was never seen as
the starring role.
No,
perhaps.
No,
yeah,
never.
Leading lady kind
never.
Of vibes.
Like
yeah.
very far down in the cast. I was practically an extra.
Yeah.
And when I got to the Girls Hooked, I was able to make friends as a leading role. Mm-hmm. I was able to not go after boys because absolutely not what happened.
Yeah,
but like,
but
I was able to project a more sure of myself. Like, I actually think I was able to become who I was
definitely.
In a way, because it's just a clean slate. Nobody knows who you are.
That's it.
You can be whatever you want to be. And I kind of get the same vibe from Love Island. So like, I kind of feel as though friends of the cast of Love Island, or whatever you call them, the Islanders, would be looking at it going, who's that? Like, you know what I mean? Do you think
it's something I find so funny, and it's something I find so like almost cruel in a way, because like, so you put someone in like Tasha or whatever, and she got a lot of stick because she was like, oh, I'm usually this sassy person or whatever. And listen, they're all going to be victims of editing. And people are always like, I'm waiting for this sassy side. And there'd be a picture of like a meme of a picture of a skeleton or whatever. And God love Tasha, she got fucking wrecked for it. But like, first of all, you're a different person with different people. If that makes sense. You're going to be different in the relationship with your mother than in a relationship with your boyfriend or with your boss or with your friends or whatever. So I think it's not fair to be like, oh, I only know her as this like one dimensional thing. Mm-hmm. How dare she be this thing? And fair enough, like, it's a common thing of friendship. I just recently wrote an article about how slagging is an Irish love language, and I truly believe it is. And sometimes in British culture as well. And we will always slag each other if we're on telly doing something weird or looking stupid or whatever. But like, I do think it's a little bit cruel to be like, oh, I don't think this is the buzz. I don't think that's her. Or I know her and she's not like that.
Yeah. It is. No, that's true, because you do turn into someone else when you're in a different environment. You actually do. And that's not you being
fake,
disingenuous. No, that's literally just because you're in a different environment. And then I think that the other correlation with Love Island and the Girls Hooked is the relationships you form there are
such strong bonds
and such quick bonds and such unique bonds, right?
Yeah.
So like, I was thinking back on my Girls Hooked experience, and I had my first kiss in the Girls Hooked.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. No, it did. It was
on Kate Pogue.
It was my Kate Pogue, and it was utterly meaningless and horrible and not enjoyable. And it was very much like, you know, there's one thing that's not missing from either Love Island or the Girls Hooked is like peer pressure.
Yeah.
And it was very much a thing of the girls word got around that I hadn't ever kissed anyone. And I was 14.
Oh, that's traumatizing.
And they were all like, you're 14?
Oh,
and I was
God,
like,
love
yeah,
you.
Like, I thought that was early doors.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm fine. And so they were like, you have to kiss someone. And I was like, oh, geez, okay. And they were like, who do you like? And I was like, oh, I like Jonathan. And I picked this guy. And I, when I say
Jonathan
it was random. Yes.
Oh, fine.
And when I say it was random, I mean he was tall and he vaguely resembled something that I thought I fancied. But at that stage, my what I thought I fancied was fairly broad reaching. Like, I could have been anyone.
Yeah.
And I picked him. And they were like, okay, we're making it happen. And then the next time there was a disco, one of my friends went up and was like, Jonathan, you're kissing my mate, or you're meeting my mate, which is what they said at the time. And then he was like, no, I'm not. She's mad looking or something.
Mad looking?
Yeah, no, he did. He was like, no, I'm not kissing her. It stayed for like, he said something like that.
And I remember, she's mad looking.
Yeah. And I remember, and I was like,
oh,
okay.
Gosh.
Like, objectively mad looking. But he didn't need to say it in front of me. Now, later on that night, he was like, go on. Because I think he was in a game where the more people you kissed, that you would win it or something.
Oh, Beat the Slapper, one of them.
Okay, Beat the Slapper. Yeah. What a name.
I know.
Disgusting.
I know.
But yes, I think he was involved in some kind of tournament. And so he was like, fine, I'll kiss her. So I hated myself, but I went over and I kissed him. It was disgusting. I didn't enjoy it. He wasn't a good kisser.
Yeah,
Jonathan, if you're listening.
Yeah, he was never going to be. But Hollywood's fucked us in that way. Like, we all think our first kiss is going to be romantic and perfect. I don't think I enjoyed kissing until, like, maybe my 10th.
Listen, do you know what I mean? You really have to get good at it.
Yeah.
And you also have to be with someone who you want to kiss.
Yeah,
like, that's key, I would have thought. And, yeah, Hollywood has fucked us. And it's fucked us in our first time kissing and our first time having sex. Like,
could write a thesis on
like,
that.
Like, it has made us... Like,
I was speaking to Grace Campbell recently, and she's a comedian. Her dad is Alistair Campbell, so funny. Mm. But
so
she's
funny.
she was like, I'm convinced that everything sexually before 25 should be wiped off.
Yeah.
Written clear of. And I'm like, yeah, totally. Like, I don't think I enjoyed sex until I was at least 24.
No. And I mean, maybe it shouldn't be wiped off in the sense that...
Well,
You're practicing and you're getting there. But I agree, it should be wiped off.
She had a lot of people.
Is it good or not?
Yeah, had a lot of people written to her being like, I'm 24 and I'm a virgin. I'm so nervous. And she's like, do not worry about it. People are not enjoying it right now. So
no,
yeah,
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
No one's enjoying the ride.
No,
like, it's grand.
No.
And I don't think, I really think it was a rare occurrence for someone to enjoy a kiss in the Gael Talk.
Oh,
which
God,
which could also correlate with Love Island because, sorry, imagine you were... just being watched.
I know.
As you kiss someone.
In a bikini.
I don't ever, you know.
Which
when
you will.
Yeah, like, eh.
Eh.
And you're, even as viewers of Love Island, you're watching this kiss and you can hear the kissy sounds.
Cam,
and you're like, they can't be enjoying this. And I always find, do you ever look at the cast or whatever after they kiss each other? They kind of move away and they're like laughing and awkward and nervous. Mm. And it's not because they're, like, in a natural environment, they wouldn't be nervous to kiss a guy or a girl. But in front of cameras, they're like, oh my God, I have to
They
do
can
this.
Probably
this
like hear
horrific.
The like of the camera zooming in to their like tongue.
And then, sorry, another thing that happens in the Gael Talk and in Love Island is after a kiss finishes, people cheer. And that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the way, like,
about that,
you know, when you're on the.
We went,
by
did
the
you
pool
have a balle en gras?
A what now?
A wall of love, a balle en gras.
I figured, I thought you were. No.
Yeah, there was a big, I think it was actually made like one of the days it was pissing rain outside and we had to do like an art lesson. So we were like, okay, so got a big. Massive sheet of paper and basically drew loads of hearts on it.
Right.
And then if anyone kissed, you would put their names in the heart and it was hung up on like the gym wall or
and
whatever.
Was this sanctioned by the Kinnera?
I think if you're working in a Gael Talk, you know people are going to get the shift every night.
Because
so I think it's a given thing.
We were very much not encouraged. Like as in,
really?
The
two owners of it, I think they like met at this Gael Talk when they were like 15 or something.
Ah,
so it was
that's
there
cute.
Was almost
so
like
kind
a romantic
of,
story.
Okay,
of
so there's lore to go with it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
In our Gael Talk, I don't know whether it was like set up by a gang of priests or what. But
it could be, Ash. You never know.
Very much disencouraged. You were like, and was this every year I went, there was this story of the girl who went home pregnant from the Gael Talk.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Now I don't think that girl actually existed.
Did you get the ride?
Well, I mean, I know a couple of people who got the ride on the beach.
On the beach?
Yeah.
very romantic. There was a beach right near where we lived.
Is it? Like, sand is essentially dirt.
No, it's horrendous. Yeah. No, yeah, I couldn't think of anywhere worse.
So chafy.
But I think the thing was, they snuck out.
Oh my God, I didn't know anyone rode.
Yeah, they snuck out after, like, bedtime or whatever, and went down to the beach and had the ride. Now, look, I wasn't there in person. I don't know if the deal was sealed or if it, the rumor was.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like,
someone went home pregnant. But that's scandalous.
No, I don't think that actually happened.
Well, no, you wouldn't know you were pregnant. Realistically, say if this happened on the very first night, you wouldn't know you were pregnant 3 weeks in.
No, you wouldn't.
No, exactly. No. And so she wouldn't be sent home with a bump, was what I was imagining.
No.
Yeah.
And if she was, the ride happened quite a bit before the
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I'm always like thinking of when I'm watching Love Island. I'm always like, they're not allowed really. I think they are. Okay, obviously they're allowed to have the ride, and a lot of people do have the ride, but like, they are on international television, their parents are watching.
Yeah, it's the parents that would fuck me.
And they are in a room. Sorry, they're in a room.
Yeah,
with like imagine 10 other couples.
Every time I see them all on the bedrooms, I'm like, imagine the stink
smell in
it.
There.
Yeah, the stink.
But also, can you imagine the ambient noise after midnight? Like, can you imagine? Okay, so you know the way the camera always shows them all going to sleep or whatever. There's always at least three or four couples who are at something.
Moving duvets.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I think
you'd have to request that one of the runners get your earplugs to be like,
oh, absolutely.
I've awake and heard too much.
Or maybe they play white noise into the room or something. and
the sexiest of soundtracks.
Yeah, do you know? Just so that you can like, just so you can get it on without having to disgust your like bed neighbours. And like, obviously in the Gael talk, there was no, like, I mean, when I say there was, you could not get a male person but beyond the border of that house, like there was no, you couldn't even have a guy in a garden, never mind in your room.
I was at one before, and the ban on tea, so the family who lived there, the like older brother was there,
right,
and we were literally feral looking at him.
And
like, we were discussing 14-15 year olds, and he was, I'd say, 21 and probably only came home because he couldn't afford rent in Dublin.
Yes.
like only there because he had to be.
Yeah.
And we were like, hi Sean.
We had a brother. We had a younger brother,
exactly,
too.
Yeah.
And his name was Richie. And I'm giving a lot away here, and everyone will probably be able to figure out which exact house I stayed in. But his name was Richie, and he was, probably 22, 23, something like that at the time. And we were all like 15. And I remember distinctly a girl in the house called Dawn. And she came out of the bathroom one day and screamed. And we were like, oh my God, Dawn is getting murdered. Like, we were like, what is happening to Dawn? So we all burst out of our rooms, all 16 of us, into the corridor. And Richie was standing there, and he had come out of his own bathroom down the corridor wearing a towel.
And she screamed at
him. She screamed out of sheer excitement because she had seen someone in a towel.
Oh my God, spot that like Catholicly repressed Irish teenager.
And then we all burst
out. First time
she
saw a torso, she was like, "Wah!"
And it was just a torso. And it was nice, but it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't David Gandy.
Yeah. It's one thing like your eyebrows going up, but screaming.
She screamed.
That's fucking
like a full, I'm not going to hurt everyone's ears, but it was a scream.
And oh my God.
We thought she was being killed.
Yeah, truly.
And, you know, that's actually something you don't see on Love Island, because
cause of death.
Everyone has
half a torso.
Everyone has abs to hand out over there in Love Island. But yeah, so that was like, that was an indicator of how randy and inexperienced and, you know, we were all just like, let loose. And I mean, look, there was other things going on. There was a lot of, and this is actually something I wanted to touch on, there was a lot of female friendships built.
Yeah. I'm still really close with a girl I met from the Gael talk.
That's so nice. Yeah, I love that you're still close. Now, I'm still close with the people I went there with, as in the friends of mine that I went with, Alison and Jane, they're still two really close friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that I met there, it's so weird, right? Because the friendships are so intense and you like imprint on these people.
Totally.
The people that live with you, or the people that are in the same room, or the people that are in the next door room, or whatever it is. And you form so many different bonds. It's almost like a lesson in new friendship, because you are meeting all these people who are completely different from you. And like, I remember this one girl, Orla, who I just thought was so clever, and now she was like, it's not, you know, she was so clever and so like nimble with words, and just, she was just so sparkling, like that's how I would describe her. And I totally clung on to her. Like, as in, I was just like, I really want to be friends with you. And that was kind of my first experience of that. Because, you know, when you're younger, you just are friends with the people who live near you.
Yeah.
It's never like a, oh my God, I want that person as my friend.
I think that's also it. Like, you kind of, I think it's something that I only kind of realized later in like my kind of teenage years. But like, you have like friends of convenience.
Yes.
Friends because they're on your road or in your school or your mom's friends with their mom or whatever it is. And here you're actually meeting people that you're like, you're class. I want to be in your circle.
Yeah, you're amazing. Like, it's almost the first time you meet people and you're like, oh my God, people are unreal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
People are way beyond like standard. Like, these are
And they know things that you've never even heard of.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they're just such
and
a fascinating.
They say funny things. Yeah. And they have like, yeah, like you were saying, slang from different places and like
everything's
they
so interesting.
Wear different things. Yeah. You're just like, whoa. And I get like when you see all the new girls and all the new guys meeting on Love Island, like they, you can tell by them that they imprint on someone and they find their like friendship soulmate in there. You know the way there's always like two of the lads. Or, totally. Or like this season it was Jax and Luca.
Yeah, less about said about them the better.
Oh,
but
listen,
anyway,
they both need to be in the bin.
Yeah, true.
And they can go there together.
Yeah,
we don't mind.
No.
But they formed this really intense male friendship. And actually, the only thing that I will give them, because they were pretty despicable the whole series, but like I really enjoyed that they sat down together one of the days or a couple of the times actually and had like a really in-depth conversation about how they felt, and they cried and they were talking about their friendship and how they'd miss each other.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's lovely, because
that was
for
nice to see
young men to see that, who may be or not as fluid with their feelings or as vocal about how they feel or whatever, to see that was actually lovely.
Yeah, that is fair.
But the friendships that you form in The Gael Talks and the friendships that are formed in Love Island are intense and powerful and full of like meaning. And I think the romantic relationships mirror that in the sense that they, yes, they're intense. Yes, they're like, they feel so vital and so important and so,
and devastating
like,
when they end. And
oh,
so
devastating.
Like I was watching Love Island. It was one of the last days or whatever. Someone was leaving and they were bawling. And I was sitting there with my boyfriend and he was like, oh God, why are they bawling? Are they going to see each other soon or whatever? I was like, I remember crying the whole way from Galway, whatever that train station is in Galway, and back to Dublin Houston where I was being collected. I remember like, bawling.
Yeah,
and like, we had a reunion planned. We were all going to see each other on Wednesday. We'd all swap numbers.
Yeah.
We were all already booked in for the next year, but it didn't matter. Like, I was like, these are my people and I miss them.
And you know what it was though, right? So that's, I felt the exact same every time I left.
Every
I would
time.
Cry and cry.
Bowl.
I would be devastated, even though we'd have plans to meet, we'd have each other's numbers. But the thing that I found, and this is what happened on my very first holiday romance, and I think we can segue into holiday romances from here, but like the thing that happened on my very first holiday romance that happened in The Gael Talks that I would imagine would happen if I went into Love Island.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Buzz, I was bawling, leaving. Because I was saying goodbye to the person I had become.
This is it.
I was saying goodbye to the leading lady version of myself that I was saying goodbye to. I was saying goodbye to that weird, unique, very short-lived, very powerful, super special time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a very unique time period where you'd never recreate that.
Yeah, never.
And that's what Love Island, like, I think Laura Whitmore said it on the reunion show, which was shite, by the way.
Yeah, I only watched 20 minutes.
Oh my God, I tuned out after 20 minutes as well. I was like, I can't take another second. But she did say that, like, only the people that are in that villa will ever know what it was like to be in that villa
exactly.
at that time.
Exactly.
And it's kind of the same with the Gael talk show, and it's the same with A Holiday Romance. You are plucked out of your normal life. You are put into somewhere where the normal rules don't apply. Social, you know, the social conditioning that you've had for your life thus far is completely different. You are completely different. No one from your real life is there to mm-hmm. contradict mm-hmm. anything that you want to be, mm-hmm. which is the case with A Holiday Romance. Like,
yeah.
your next door neighbours who have known you since you were a toddler mm-hmm. aren't there to be like, well, Aisling, why are you being so loud? You're mm-hmm. not normally like that.
This is not a visual medium, but there's a lot of hand gesturing going on just so everyone's in touch.
Yes, a lot of hand. I'm a very hand gesturing.
You are a very hand gesturing girl. But no, I totally agree. And I do think that's kind of the most captivating thing of, like, whether it's Gaeltacht, whether it's Holiday yeah. Romance. Like, so Holiday Romance, for example, if you and I were to go on holiday tomorrow, we would finish up our work, we would finish up our boring things. We would have maybe our nails done and our hair highlighted and our bags packed, and we're ready to go off just the best version of ourselves, the version we want to protect or project. So whether that's fun, whether that's not bogged down by work, whether that's not thinking about, like, oh, I have to put a washing on, or I have yeah. to do a food shop, or all the boring things you do. Like, it's not thinking, okay, I have to check in my emails. It's literally you going with this one solo goal of, like, having a good time. And mm-hmm. so you're literally the good time gal for it.
Yes.
So then for people who...
Or in my case, I'm not so much a good time gal as, like, I'm going to lie down a lot gal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily want to have a good time. I don't want to have a lying down time.
Good time can be lying
chill.
Down.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. Good time can be lying yeah. down. Sorry. I present a sex podcast. That's what I do.
But yeah, so you go over and you then... are projecting this image of yourself onto others. So yes. other people will treat you like
yes.
that.
Oh my God, you're so right. Yeah. And other people will feel like they can be that. They can be the fun yes. girl. They can be the, like, they can be whoever they
you're
want.
You're easy breezy yeah. and yeah. you're yeah. having a, you're out to have a ball and you're loving this and you're loving mm-hmm. that. And I think I can be this way around you. So yeah. I also like where this is going.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's why so many holiday romances happen? Because, okay, think of an ordinary 2 weeks for you and I in our early 20s, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Say we're both single, we're both just living our lives. In the space of 2 weeks, it would have been highly unlikely for me to, like, run upon a man who I thought, oh my God, I'm obsessed with you and I want to have sex with you and yeah. I want to be with you forever.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen.
That would be rare, yeah. right? Whereas on holidays, it seemed to always happen.
Because everyone's radiating this glow because they are giving off, like, the best version of themselves.
Totally.
Never take away weather and stuff, which obviously has a huge effect. And, like, everyone's, like, half naked all the time, which
totally.
Also does things.
Yeah.
And everyone has also probably presented themselves. Like, I know we've kind of gotten over, thankfully, as a nation, having to have a beach body or whatever.
Of course.
But you've probably, like, gotten your wax. You've probably gotten new clothes. You've probably yeah. whatever. So, like, you are projecting this person that you have planned in your head that you want to be for yeah. this week or two.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, a holiday, like a foreign holiday, is the only time I'll ever outfit plan.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah, so you have this in your head. Yeah. You are your own personalised project that mm-hmm. you are like, this is exactly how I'm going to come across, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to talk about, and all of these kind of things. And then likelihood is, so is that other person who has caught your eye.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And the want for fun.
Yes,
is
and excitement
and
stories.
And newness.
And yeah.
yeah, that's all there and present. And it does lead to romance more often than not. And the thing about a holiday romance is, like, I was only speaking to my sister about this the other day. Holiday romances are not the same, like, not at all the same as a romance that you start at home.
Yeah, no.
For obviously, there's many, many reasons. But the key one is, like, you are not who you are
no.
and they are not who they are. When you're on holidays.
Not at all.
Like, that's just, that's...
You can't be.
The main thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not... Aside from the fact that, you know, you've got responsibilities, you've got a job, you've got things that stress you out, you've got et cetera, like, all the different things.
Your routine is different, your mindset is different, your clothes are different, like, every way possible. What you're projecting out on, like, say, a night out is very different on the yeah. first night of your holiday.
Yeah. And even, I mean... In the first flushes of a new romance, when you're in your own environment, mm-hmm. everything is very exciting and you're chatting about, and you, like, there is nothing more intoxicating than someone thinking you are marvelous.
I know.
And I mean, like, when someone is just like,
dying
whoa,
to text
oh my God,
and
tell
so
me about
interested
yourself.
Yes. And yeah, so nice.
Like, is there anything better than someone who's like, even simple things like, tell me about your family, tell me about, like, what,
how did,
like,
that make you feel?
How does, yeah, yeah. Do you know, and just, when someone is discovering you for the first time,
it's kind of you discovering yourself, being like, oh, maybe life isn't so bad.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you're also able to give your highlight reel as well. Mm. You're able to be like, well, here are all these wonderful things about me, and we won't talk about all the shit behind the scenes. And like, you're able to be just, you're able to like design yourself for someone else. And that's such a special feeling. And I think that's why holiday romances are so powerful, because there is nothing more delicious than that feeling of someone finding you as new, you know?
Yeah. And special and like an untouched resource.
Exactly.
I always wonder with the holiday romance thing, I imagine it's very similar for celebrities. So say if you're Justin Bieber, and like, fair enough, I'm sure he does a lot of work, but also I'm sure day to day his life revolves around like him doing essentially whatever he wants. Absolutely. On the days he's not working.
Yeah.
So in essence, every day is a holiday for him. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if he has been, I don't know why I zoned in on him, but if he has been in relationships that have almost felt like a holiday romance in his like current life.
Yeah.
Because he wakes up every day and decides he wants to buy this or fly there or whatever. And he can project this person on himself to another. So I think when celebrities meet a person, even if it's in their own natural environment, they can have that holiday romance again and again. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes down to
is that why celebrities like get married after 3 weeks?
That's what I wonder. So like, and then you always hear of celebrities having to break up, two celebrities, because of scheduling differences. So obviously they've had like a beautiful couple of weeks or a month or whatever.
When they happen to both be in
exactly
the same city.
And they both met in a club and they both chatted and whatever. And then all of a sudden they tried to make it work and they're like, oh, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
real
think
life
like,
doesn't work with this.
Like the I was thinking about Khloe Kardashian actually, and her meeting your man, what was his name?
Lamar. Oh my God, I watched that episode of them getting married yesterday during lunch.
God, how timely. I didn't even make you do that.
Yeah, yeah, literally. And I was like, she was talking about getting married, and I was like, oh, Tristan. And she was like, Lamar. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, because it was like 11 days or something.
Yeah, they knew each other for no time at all.
No time at all.
And they got engaged. I think they got engaged like a month after they met. So they got married a month after they met. I think they got engaged after like a week and a half or something.
Yeah.
And my, like, that just screamed holiday romance.
Totally.
To me. And I mean, granted, they weren't on holidays, but they were, or they must
in the
have
state
been,
of mind.
In
like,
the
they
state
didn't
of mind,
have
yeah.
to worry about the things that you and I worry about, like getting petrol for the car or the boring bits that, like, make up every day.
Yeah. And I feel like he was like a basketball player, I think.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when they met, he must have been off season because he spent a lot of time with her. She must have been flailing around with all her money. And so they kind of were on a holiday
a bit. Weren't struck down by schedules at that stage, and they were like, oh, this is kind of fun, the fact that we're both rich and young and hot and have time to kill.
The rich thing is important because I feel like you and I may have been married before if we were loaded. You know what I mean, if money was no object for us,
of course you'd have a wedding. It's a party.
Absolutely. And you'd be like, I can just get divorced.
Yeah, 100%.
It's going to cost me a few grand, but fine. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I think that's why celebrities are always like, let's get married, because that they forget, or maybe they don't forget, but maybe they ignore the fact that that level of intense, oh my God, I am captivated by you and I will be forever. They take that one step too far and get married.
Yeah.
Whereas we feel it in the Gael Talked, people on Love Island feel it.
Yeah.
And they stop short of getting married because, you know, first of all, they're 14, but second of all, you know. But like, it's like that feeling, in a way, I'm going to say, is a little bit dangerous, because when you're, if you have a holiday,
it's like a drug, I'd imagine.
Is. Like when you have a holiday romance as an adult. So say you have a holiday romance when you're like 28 and you do think to yourself, I love this person and I'm never going to stop.
I think you automatically, like, when you're in a relationship, you imagine yourself with this person. Like, and whether it's a fling or whether it's a whatever, if you have any sort of feelings, you're like, is this what my life is? I don't know. I felt it myself, and I know a few of my friends, I've said it to them before. You start seeing someone or whatever and you're like, is this it? Like, is this me? Like, and then you start thinking whether you want to marry this person or not. You're like, oh yeah, I suppose, yeah, we'd live in Meath and we'd have horses and we'd have whatever. You imagine this idea in your head because that's kind of what society tells you to.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a holiday romance?
Yes.
Have you?
Yeah. I wrote about it actually for Patreon recently. It was my first holiday romance. I was 16 and I was in Ibiza. And
you were in Ibiza at 16?
Yeah, but with my parents. It was like, I wasn't cool.
That's a bit chic.
Oh, it was cool. Yeah, like it was. Yeah. And it was actually a really nice place. But I fell deeply in love with oh my God, now listen. He was a German water polo player.
Oh, say no more. I think say no more.
And he was way older than me, or at least felt way older than me. I think he might have been 19 and I was 16. And he was so tanned. Like, so tanned. It was obscene.
Yeah, he had those, abs, those Europeans really
he
can.
He had shoulders. He had,
What was his name? Like, Klaus?
What was it? Oliver?
Oh, Oliver. Yeah. I was hoping for something pretty more German.
No, Oliver. No, okay, anyway. Imagine that had been Klaus.
Yeah.
No, it was Oliver. His last name was pretty German, but I won't give that away in case he's, in case he's a listener.
In case he's a listener.
I'm sure he tunes in every week. My friends, they were like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
fine. You know, they were totally very hands off, which I appreciate and still do.
Yeah.
And so it was fine, but we were in love. And then I had to go home. Was it I had to go home or he went home? I can't remember, but I think it was me. I think he arrived after me, so therefore was staying longer.
Yes.
And I remember as though it was yesterday, getting onto the coach back to the airport, the transfer thing, and like that. Crying my eyes out, like bawling, hot, like sobbing. And I remember distinctly being really embarrassed because I remember everyone in the coach looking at me and being like, what the fuck is wrong with your one?
Stop. It's so heartbreaking.
It was so heartbroken. And we had exchanged addresses and promised to write to each other.
Oh my God, that's so glam.
And like, because nobody had, I didn't have a phone. Like,
yeah.
So we'd exchanged addresses and we said we'd write to each other. And of course we didn't. And after... I
imagine you would have been a real writer, real letter kind of gal.
Yeah, no, I was. But yeah. I remember being like, what am I going to say?
Probably embarrassed.
He doesn't speak English.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the language. And sorry,
and
of course.
And this was the key thing, right? We didn't have anything to say to each other outside. We didn't have much to say anyway because we spoke different languages.
Yeah.
But we literally didn't have anything to say to each other outside this world that we had built for ourselves on holiday.
Yeah.
I had no interest. I lost interest very quickly.
Okay.
And this is why I wish the Love Island reunion had been filmed in 4 weeks' time. Because...
when that buzz wore off.
When the buzz wears off and all of a sudden you're sitting across the table from each other eating your dinner in Luton.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, we're really good looking. Yeah, we were on a show together. Do I actually give a fuck about who you are?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I actually want to have a conversation with you?
I know.
Do I actually want to go home and meet your parents? Maybe no.
Yeah. It's what you do on the shit days that really makes you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's how you get on those days. Mm. And it's what you find captivating about each other months and years down the line.
Yeah.
And how your ability to make things feel new again. And that's work. And that's not what a holiday romance is about. Do you know the kind of way?
Talk to me about Andrew and Tasha. How do you feel about them?
God, long pause. I just don't... I think it was convenient for them.
Okay.
And I think when Tasha realised the public didn't like her, she was like, feck, I better get into this relationship quickly and solidify my place here. And I just think there's a lot of layers to it.
Mm.
And I definitely think they'll break up.
Oh, yeah.
And I also think her asking him to be her boyfriend, I felt like... that was totally fine. Like a girl can do it, a guy can do it. That doesn't matter. It's not that. But it was very much like
performative
kind of performative and kind of, you know, they all are in there. You know, every relationship request is like a fucking song and dance. But like, I felt like it was her in the driver's seat. That's not to say that Andrew wouldn't have done it, but I think to me, I always felt like she was a bit panicked. She was a bit like, oh my God, I have to be the first person to ask to get into a relationship. I have to be seen to be like even Flat Ted, that teddy bear that she had.
That was so odd.
That was obviously a
siren song towards Molly May.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was just a bit weird.
And it was very like,
I don't know what teddies either though, so I'm obviously not the right audience.
No, me neither. But at the same time, I think it's not like she had a Love Island bingo card.
Yeah.
And someone said to her, okay, if you tick all these boxes, you'll be in the top three.
Yeah.
And she went, Leave it with me. You know?
Have it.
Have you ever had a love romance, holiday romance?
A holiday romance, I've never had one.
No.
No, I had a Gaeltacht boyfriend. Had a Gaeltacht boyfriend.
Okay, tell me more.
So it was, I'm going to say it was maybe the second year I was there. So I'm going to say 15, my birthday's in May. So I was probably just 16.
Okay.
And so what's really funny is in the Gaeltacht, everyone, you only call each other by their first name. And so say, for example, someone's name is Tom, you might call them Tomás, the Irish person.
Did that make you caught?
No, no one called me Koch. Because my surname is De Mulder, which is Belgian, whatever. I was the only name on the list that wasn't translated.
I think
they might have thought I was foreign. I was fine
with it.
Yeah, fine. I was fine with it. You're from Kildare.
You practically are.
Exactly. So no, I wasn't Koch, actually. But, so... You only know each other by everyone's first name, is the point I was getting at. So you didn't know anyone's surnames. And so I won't say the first name of the guy who was my boyfriend. But his surname, I only found out later when he added me on, I'm going to say Bebo, was the same as my mum's surname before she got married, Barrett.
Okay.
So I was like, we're cousins. We're obviously cousins. We weren't. We were, reader, we're not. But I was like, as soon as I saw Barrett, I was like, oh my, or Barade or whatever it was in Irish. I was like, oh my fucking God. So yeah, went out.
Can't believe I've been scoring my cousin.
So it was actually really, I know, long story short, TLDR. So it was actually really sweet. So the girl I said I'm really good friends with, her name is Afric.
Okay.
And she actually was really fancied by, I'm going to give him a name so I don't speak his name.
Let's call him Paul.
Paul.
Plain Paul.
So Paul was there in the Gael, talked with his best friend, Kevin Queeveen.
Right.
And he fancied my friend, Afric. Okay. And so we were all kind of friends. And Queeveen, I think he was, might have been in my Irish class or whatever. And he was like, I really fancy your friend. How would you like recommend I get some alone time with her?
Okay.
And I was like, oh, maybe I'll ask her to go for a walk or ask her to whatever, sit down beside her or whatever. And he was like, okay. And so then that left myself and Paul susceptible to love. And so then the four of us kind of love by default. Yes. So the four of us became like a...
A couple.
I was about to say foursome. So like Afric and I would go home and talk about the boys, and I'm sure they would, they probably didn't talk about it that much, but like that was our buzz. And I think we all broke up on the last night, and obviously tears and horror. And Paul broke up with me on the second last night, and I was like horrified and mortified and thought we were going to be together forever. And I was like, he lived in Dublin. I was like, Kildare's not far from Dublin. All this kind of stuff.
And why did you think you were going to be together forever?
Because Gael talked. Yeah. Because like just that intense love that you were just like. And also,
and
you're
did he break
so
up with
young.
You on the second last night so that he could score rings around himself on the
I
last
night? I
don't
know. I don't know if he kissed anyone. But I do remember. So one of those really captivating women that we talked about earlier, her name was Siobhan, and she lived in our house. And she had an Abercrombie and Fitch t-shirt, which I had never owned anything.
Dream.
Gold.
Like gold.
That said, I'm not with stupid anymore. And she made me wear it on the last night. And it was
caught.
Yeah. And everyone was like, I was like heartbroken in tears. And she was like, no, fuck this. And she was like 18. So she was like been around the block in terms of Gael Talk Love.
She'd been around the block at 18.
Yeah, exactly. And she was like, no, fuck this. So I wore it to the like, I think we only were allowed to have a disco on the very last night. And so he probably was riding rings around me. But yeah, I wore it. I've never felt so like woman in my life.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was captivating.
That is early feminism.
Yeah, it was early feminism. But it's funny, like, there are people I went, like, so I went to the Gael Doctor, whatever, and you kind of, I maintained really, a really close friendship with one girl, that girl, Afric. But otherwise, you wouldn't really think about Gael Talk people throughout the year. You might, in like, say, happy birthday to someone on their Bebo wall or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I started going to college and I came across people I went to the Gael Talk with.
Oh
and
my God.
I was
so
like,
so did I.
Did you?
Yes.
And I was like,
it was a girl in my class.
Yeah, Queeveen, who had gone with Afric. I was like,
this girl, Kira was in my class. And I remember being like, oh my God, we were in the Gael Talk together.
And it was
like,
almost
yeah.
a little bit embarrassing because you're like, I had this like really intimate relation with you
for like three weeks. And then that was it.
Yeah.
And then now here you are in my life again.
What are you up to?
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But it was not, I actually found it comforting on the first day of college to know someone. It was actually really nice.
How do you guys know each other? We were in like an Irish language cult for 3 weeks when we were 16.
How do you know each other?
Yeah.
Like it was, and it was a really good like backstory, and it was nice to have that familiarity I think on the first day. And also it was nice to have that like she knew the Gael talked me, which meant that she wasn't jarred by the college me, because the college me and the Gael talked me were very similar.
Yes,
because school me was in
bogged
a box
down by limitations,
in a box that people had put me in
totally
when I wasn't able to build my own box. And then when I went to the Gael talked, I started discovering parts of myself that I loved, and I brought them to college.
Yeah, so nice.
And then into my adulthood, obviously.
Yeah, it's so beneficial to be able to just like, as I said at the start, like it is an expensive thing to do, and like it's not for everyone, sadly. Mm. But like it is really beneficial in those really hard years to be a teenage girl. I'm sure it is boy as well. I have no experience, but in those really hard years to be a teenage girl, it is so beneficial to go out and just meet new people,
yeah,
and allow to try yourself, try on different personalities of yourself,
yeah,
different versions of yourself, different versions of other friend groups,
mm-hmm,
and just to be able to like experience more. I think it's so beneficial,
and it kind of gives you the confidence as well to be like, oh yeah, they're my friend from the Gael talk.
Yeah, yeah,
you're not, you're not confined.
I'm more than what you just see in front
exactly,
of me.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. And yeah. I'm more than, you know, I don't need you necessarily. Mm. I have other friends, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
and
yeah,
that kind of, it's quite a powerful thing, and when
also,
you're a teenager.
That's it. And also just to be like, I can go somewhere else and people will like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. To not think you're stuck.
I did some polling on Instagram. That
ooh,
I'm
oh
go.
Yes, I saw that. I was wondering.
So I'm going to go get the results now. So on at Private Education Podcast on Instagram, if you are interested, I asked, have you ever had a holiday romance? 64% said no. 36% said yes.
Yeah, see, I'm in the know. I've never had a holiday romance.
Okay, I thought it would be most people for some reason. I thought it'd be like 95% yeah.
Potentially. And I kind of was wondering about the poll whether people would say they would even if they hadn't. But no, I've never...
30, yeah. So 36%
and it's
yes.
Not that like I've always been in a relationship. I haven't. But
no.
Like... No, I just never had you it. Never, never happened for me.
And then, did it last beyond the holiday? 72% said no way.
Oh, that's still more than I thought that was going to be. 95%.
28% said yes.
Okay. So there is hope.
I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah.
Because I was about to wrap up there by being like, don't bring your holiday romance home. It's not going to work.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This kind of shit on that, didn't it? And then the last one is, did you think you were in love at the time? And... So 17% said yeah, Scarlett. 53% said, ah no, I knew it was lust, which makes complete sense,
yeah,
because that's, you know, what most of them are. And 30% said, ew, no.
So ew, no.
Combined, 83%.
Oh my God, are we just like over emotional freaks that just like fall in love at like 16 at anything?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
This is cheaper than therapy. No, I think though, my rule would be like, thinking that you can take a holiday romance or a Gael talk romance or indeed a Love Island romance,
mm-hmm,
and bring it home and insert it into your new life or your real life,
mm-hmm,
leaving behind the heady, you know, gorgeous days of holidays.
Mm.
It's rare that will pan out.
Yeah.
Like logistically, it'll have to work. You know, I'm not sure how close you lived. He was from Dublin, you were from Kildare.
Yeah.
As 16-year-olds, that probably wouldn't have worked.
You know.
No. Thank
you. Well, also the fact that he dumped me.
And that. But like, I was hardly going to commute to Germany for your man. You know, like it just, logistically, it often doesn't pan out. But then aside from that, even if you both happen to be from the same city, when you meet up in real life and you go, oh, you're not in a bikini, we're not on a beach,
we're not
going for cocktails tonight, you're not the fun, frivolous, just
it's
like
a shitty Tuesday in November.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It
have IBS and cramps at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about that,
yeah,
Paul?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same thing. It's not going to work. And, you know, the notion that the person that you meet and, like, the feelings that you feel in those days when you're on holidays... You have to remember that they are...
On steroids. Yeah.
And compacted and compressed and very, very much under a special kind of rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah, a cloak of kind of headiness, yeah.
Exactly. And it just, it's not real. It's not real life, guys.
Yeah, so I know you're not a drinker, but no. For the drinkers of the podcast, it's like 2 glasses of wine. The perfect before, like, you start to slur, but you're like, everything's a little bit sexy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're really selling wine
to
me here. But, like, I just want...
You're just buzzed.
Like, ah, this is cool.
Buzzed.
If anyone has listened to this beachside, right? If you are listening to this from, you know, some beach somewhere and you're looking across
the pool... Do you fancy anyone right now? Yeah.
Like, slide into the DMs. Obviously, if you're mid-holiday romance, let us know.
Oh, do.
But at the same time, if you're in the middle of a holiday romance and your life is about to be ruined because you have to go home and leave this perfect man, please bear in mind that they are not the perfect man. They're not the perfect woman.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't met your soulmate.
It is
incredibly unlikely.
Well, 20 whatever, 8% proved us wrong.
I don't know. I'm going to have to query that. I'm going to have to get on to
this.
This
is no longer a democracy. It's now a dictatorship.
Was it ever a democracy? No, I feel as though, I don't know. Okay, so one third or slightly less than a third of romances have panned out. That still leaves a big margin of error.
Ashley's currently glassy-eyed and shaking her head.
I just don't believe it, Kate. I just don't believe it. So yeah, if you are poolside, listen to this. Thanks for listening on your holidays. Mm-hmm. And also, just walk backwards away from the German, the hot German.
Yeah.
And say goodbye at the door.
Just imagine them with hemorrhoids. See how you feel.
Yeah. Or imagine them like when they're hungover. Or imagine them when they're like...
not being able to fill out, like, I'm trying to think of specific icks. Like getting annoyed when they're trying to book a flight in Skyscanner. Or like...
yes. Or when the Wi-Fi won't work absolutely freaked and throwing their phone at the wall.
Yeah, yeah. So driving 10 and 2, that kind of stuff.
Driving 10 and 2. Imagine the romance that you're having right now. Imagine that person driving 10 and 2 and see how you feel then. You'll run. Okay, Kate, we're going to wrap this up. Mostly because my car is going to run out of petrol and the air conditioning really, really has an effect on that. Did you know that?
Are you a petrol head?
I did not know this.
Yeah, I knew that, sadly.
So we are going to have to get a wriggle on, and I may have to actually take Kate with me to the garage because I don't think we'll have much time. So thank you so much for returning as a guest, and hopefully you'll come back again.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll be happy to spill my guts one more time.
Deadly. And everybody, thanks so much for listening. If you have any time on your hands, especially if you're on holidays, actually, because you do have time on your hands, please leave us a review or a star rating or a comment on Instagram or share us on WhatsApp or whatever you want to do. We would really appreciate it. And until next week, stay safe in the sun. SPF for everyone. Mm-hmm. Have fun. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.